Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 599.
Hey, does that mean six? Next week, well, next episode would be episode 600.
600, yes.
My God.
I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
That's not possible. That's heresy. Guys, it's heresy.
Sure. I mean, it's not hearsay.
No, it's not heresy.
We know.
I think witchcraft was somehow involved. Somebody sacrificed a lamb, stood up at the inappropriate time during the service. Something happened. It's heresy.
Earl is here as well.
For not for 599 episodes, though. And, you know, I'm just getting my jog on. I'm not afraid of these insurrectionists, you know.
Earl didn't start to like episode 198. He's like, oh. I'm only partially buzzed.
I was busy that day.
Jeff is sick. So filling in for him is our good pal Walt.
What's up? I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to substitute for Jeff whenever possible. I can't replace him. I can only wish him the best in his recovery. And remember, if you live in his hometown, there's a petition to get the mayor to give the city give the key to the city to his brand new pooper. Let's get Jeff Pooper the key to the city. Thank you.
The key is like specially shaped and comes with a coating so that it fits better.
Are we saying they're going to give him a key butt plug?
That's what Tony just said. I just wanted him to get a key. But the butt plug idea, if he's down, I'm not going to judge him.
All right. Well, go petition the mayor of DeKalb for that, I guess. The mayor evidently knows Jeff too, so
yeah, because of the petition.
Well, the butt plug ones happen.
These is the butt plug man, the mailman that wants one for his new pooper.
All right. Yeah, it's episode 599, which, as Earl said, that means the next time we record, which I believe will be next week, will be episode 600. I don't have anything planned. I don't know if you guys do, but.
I didn't realize that we were up on a milestone.
Yeah, I mean, being the fact that I just learned about it tonight, I mean, like 2 minutes ago when you introduced it.
It's only been like 2 months that I've been like saying 590, but.
You know, like. The numbers don't mean anything until it gets to a point where it's like, oh, the numbers mean something. So
it's rolling over. That means that seems significant.
It's time to take us all in for an oil change.
I have a delivery of steaks coming next week, but you know, I'm not sure if that counts.
Sure. They're here by Thursday. But it's not a significant episode 599. So
you know what we should do for episode 600?
What's that?
We should record a podcast of us watching Shrek.
Feeling
Chris is in favor, I can hear it.
I was gonna say my favorite part is like Chris didn't say no right away. I gotta come for next year.
He says I can't just say no. I have to do better than no. That was
can't just be like I don't wanna dash anybody's dreams, so I don't know if Jeff would agree to that.
No, I mean, if you tell, if you don't, he's not here. Jeff, do you object? I don't hear any objection from Jeff.
I stopped there enjoying that butt plug. So I mean,
since I am substituting for Jeff, I can say he would vote for it.
There you go. The eyes have it.
Well, we'll take that under advisement, I guess. So possibly we're watching Shrek. Zero to do. This show,
but it has so much sure. The show for the past year.
It's so weird, and
it's all Tony's fault, by the way. It wasn't me. I was 100% Tony.
Never. Like, I'm innocent.
When Shrek came up, like Jeff was very adamantly like he hates Shrek, and somehow this all got pinned on me, who was defending like it's not a bad movie. Like Jeff was like, it is terrible, and somehow this has become Chris loves Shrek, and I don't get it.
I was just about to ask, like, I don't even remember how this all started. I just know that it still exists.
There was just a conversation where Jeff was adamantly against all Shrek, and Chris was like, you know, I like the first one. I mean, the second one, and then it came. He loved Shrek.
After the second one, it takes a step off.
And I think most people would agree with that assessment.
I don't know how it stuck around for a year, but yes,
heresy.
I think we've all played something this week. Actually, we played a pair of games together, all four of us. And actually, Jeff actually played with us as well, but he's not around to talk about it. But the one game Jeff didn't play with us seems to be the hottest game going on Xbox right now, which is incredibly strange. Power Wash Simulator, which hit Game Pass last week.
Multiplayer game of the year.
I mean, how often do you get to do something in a game that you absolutely have never, ever, ever done before?
We went to Mars and cleaned the rover. Then we went to, we cleaned the grimy ass water fountain. It was amazing.
Like I cleaned a van. Like I went into my backyard and I cleaned cleaned the stones. I cleaned out this grubby looking pond and a fence. Like I've never cleaned things in a game before.
I was just saying,
for new experience.
I've never cleaned stuff before, but yeah, it is very fascinating just from a standpoint of like this shouldn't make any sense. Like this shouldn't be fun. This shouldn't be something that we want to pay as a crew, but it's oddly addicting.
Yeah, I don't know if fun is the right word, Earl, but it is like it was enjoyable to play with you guys, but I'm not sure that the playing part was what was enjoyable.
I don't know. I have played through a couple missions by myself and I kind of enjoy it.
It's relaxing.
I fully agree with Earl that it is oddly addicting because I have now played like 12 missions in that game and put like 15 hours into it.
Oh my god,
I haven't gone that far.
It's weird.
I probably play the most out of all you guys, and it led to me playing Lawnmower Simulator and House Flipper Simulator. It's that, I'm not regretting any of it. It's all enjoyable. It's like, I don't know, it's the strangest type of game. Where the production quality isn't the highest, right? You're just doing a very simple task, and it's just about killing time, man. I don't know how to say it. It's like it's what mobile games were back in the day. You know, just you know, a few minutes and you get your kick. This thing kind of does.
I would go so far as to say this game is emblematic of all video games. It's just boiled down to the essentials. Like you sit down. You do a task. If you do it well, you get rewards, which help you do the next task better. That's all video games are. And this game is just a really, really like simple version of that. it's weird to like say out loud, right? The name of it is just stupid. Yeah.
The name and like the idea of like that you're just like it is you first person, looks like a first person shooter, except you're shooting water at stationary objects. Yeah. It seems stupid, but it is.
Like, solution.
or yes, right. Which you have to buy.
Yes, there is that finite source of cleaning solution. As well as the fact that stuff is not cheap.
I've really only come across one mission, though, where I've needed to use it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's necessary. It just seems like it makes
it easier. It does. In the career mode, it gets pretty complex. I'm cleaning out a firehouse that caught fire. I'm in that, and I've had to use three different kinds of solutions in order to get it done.
That one is on my list. I jumped to, like, the forest cottage instead. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done the firehouse yet.
And then now, you guys have done the more complicated ones. Do you need the cleaning solutions? Like, are they necessary? Or do they?
I needed it for this like old car.
Yeah, if you really want to get the grime off without using the small tool that, you know, the super concentrated one that rotates, without using that tool, the solution gets it off the best. Otherwise, you're going to be in there like nitpicking, trying to get every little inch off.
Yeah, it does seem like if you use the ones that have higher pressure, like the red nozzle or the rotating nozzle, or the yellow one, which is kind of like the smaller stream, that takes off most of it. Like, I haven't really needed, outside of that car, I haven't needed the washer and fluid.
And then there's the challenge modes where you have a limited amount of time or a limited amount of water to get everything done. So if you use the solution, you actually can clean the cars faster with less water.
That makes sense. I should try that because I think there's an achievement for getting a.
They're tough, man. I was trying to do the van with the limited water thing, and I could not do it.
Yeah, I think what the timed ones are like. You have like 3 minutes to clean the entire van.
Yeah, and like when we played, right? Remember this little annoying like, what's still missing? What's still dirty? Yeah. What the hell did I miss? That it, you're stuck with that right throughout the thing. It's just the weirdest game. It makes no sense why it's so enjoyable, and yet we enjoy the shit out of it.
I think it was go ahead, Earl.
I was gonna say, to be fair, I mean, it's an enjoyable. I'm not gonna deny that, but I would also chalk it up to it being a Friday night and some of us being drunk. That's helped true. A bit.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, you can all. I mean, like five of us got on and. Like, it's not, you don't have to think hard. Like, cover me over here, like in Halo or Destiny or Fortnite or something like that. It's more just like, I'm going to clean this side, you clean that side, and then we just bullshit the entire time while we're doing
it. Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Plus, it's such a slow year that games like this are going to, like, stand out. And it's great that it's on a service like Game Pass where, it's like, fuck, it didn't cost us anything. We'll download it and play it, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lot of things going for it at this time, I think.
I read today on True Achievements that it hit, it was one of the top 10 releases, like, on Game Pass.
Of all time? Or
yeah, something. Of all, like, the debut of it was, like, one of the top 10 debuts.
Yeah, man. I believe
it's nuts. I guess House Flipper also got a little nod in that article, which Walt, you said you played a little bit of as well.
Yeah, that one actually get kind of invests more over time. So you start with this little grimy cottage, right? And you start cleaning people's homes. So it kind of already feels like Power Wash Simulator, except you're actually picking up trash and with a mop, you're cleaning shit off the floor and all that stuff. And then you graduate to, like, installation, appliance installation. Then you're taking on walls, and then you're adding walls, and then you're cleaning gardens, and then you're washing windows. It just keeps opening up until eventually it feels almost like a combination of Lawnmower Simulator, Power Wash Simulator, and all that stuff all in one, because not only are you, like, taking jobs where it's like, hey, I want a new addition to my house, and I also want these many appliances installed in my house, and I want you to get rid of all the items in this house and sell it for profit and then charge me whatever you think I need to be charged. And aside from those missions, right, there's like a home buying market where you buy the house completely, and then you decide how much you want to invest into it and make it as approachable for a buyer, and then sell it for profit. So you can be like what I was doing. I just cleaned, the stuff was broken. I didn't upgrade anything and just sold it as cheap as possible to make the highest profit.
Oh, so you are a scummy landlord.
No, because I'm not renting it. I'm selling it. I'm a shitty house flipper like they are in the market right now. If you're buying a home, you know exactly what I mean. You go do a home inspection and everything, and the inspector's like, "This is doo-doo. Don't buy this house."
Can you, like, I mean, you can improve the stuff, but, like, is there, like, a, like, kind of a home design element where you can actually, like, make it look nice? And
oh, absolutely. You have choices in paint. You have wallpaper, floor paneling, lighting fixtures, furniture, and, like, it goes on and on. Like,
okay, you can literally, that's what I was looking for.
Different like refrigerator like styles, and I mean, it, if you're really wanting into decorating and shit, it's like what a lot of people really like, the Sims. You can really get it out of this game too.
Yeah, that's I think the more the interior decoration part than the cleaning aspect of it is what I'd be interested in.
But I did the cleaning's fast. That mop takes care of everything, which is
when it originally came out on PC, I watched Fozzie play a little bit on his Twitch stream, and it looks like it's not like you're scrubbing stuff forever. It's
super fast. It's
gamified. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's fast. I think that's the best thing about it. It doesn't feel like torture, that like you're sitting there cleaning, you know, some roaching, because you have to vacuum up roaches. Some places are invested with roaches and use a vacuum to get rid of them. it's silly stuff.
That is kind of what I liked about Power Wash Simulator, is like it takes it's the completion of like what you're working on takes just the right amount of time. So it's not like this is tedious and it's taking forever. It's like right when you're about to be like, this is annoying, it like ding, 100%, and you move on to the next piece that you need to clean.
Yeah.
Guess we'll stick with the simulator stuff, because you also played Lawn Mowing Simulator, and I don't know what this show is anymore.
It's a home improvement show. Power washing, lawn care management.
It's another game where you start, you pick a lawnmower, a riding lawnmower in a weed whacker, and you start, you name your business, you pick a logo for your business, and you start taking jobs. And some more complicated, and you get penalized for like damaging the ground, right? Or like driving too fast, and there's like a different, and there's like a, you know, mounts or whatever slope, and you're going too fast, so you're gonna rub the blades in the ground and chip it. You get a penalty. If you're edging and you get carried away, like me, I don't like using the edger, I just ride the lawnmower everywhere, and every once in a while, a flower gets eaten up. You get a penalty. And it's just, that's all you do. That's literally the game. You just like, you know, you stop to refill your stuff, and there's different lawns, and eventually you buy a bay, and you hire extra workers, and you buy extra equipment, and you send them out. It's a landscaping company. That's the entire game. You start a landscaping company.
Like, you start out just like mowing lawns, and you become like this landscaping empire.
Exactly. And you send out AI like employees to like, hey, go do this job.
Well, that's cool. It's not just like sitting and mowing lawns. It's literally like you're running an actual organization and growing it.
Yeah, you have to like put in the work. You have to like get the ratings and earn the money, you know?
Right. Like you have to get enough money to hire those.
Yeah, to buy a bay and expand and all that stuff. So you have like right now you start with just your equipment on the truck, right? But then you buy a bay and you have space for an extra lawnmower. Then you can hire somebody to run the lawnmower for you and do jobs.
Yeah, there seems like there's maybe a little bit more game involved in Lawn Mowing Simulator and House Flipper than Power Wash Simulator.
Oh, absolutely. Power Wash is just kind of like, I don't know what it is about Power Wash. It's just relaxing, though, you know?
Yeah, it's just like you're just like just cleaning off this one thing, getting the ding, moving on to the next one. There is a weird, like, have you guys, when you're playing, you see like the little pop-ups you get, like the text messages?
Yeah, there's a story. Someone's telling you the story.
There is like a goofy story to each one that you're doing. And the writing is actually pretty funny with some of the stuff. Like the one bungalow you're doing, like the lady thinks it's haunted and it's not, but like she's sending you all these texts about the noises she's hearing and it's just because you're power washing outside.
It's dumb.
It's dumb, but it's like just like breaks up the monotony just enough that it's like, oh, like that's kind of funny, and you keep going on. All right. Well, Jeff said to say that he really likes Tormented Souls. That's all we got from Jeff. Earl, you played some Multiversus? We lose Earl? No. Earl
died. Goodbye, Earl.
All right, we'll come back to Earl. Is he back?
Yeah, what happened? Sorry.
We didn't ask what you had been playing.
Yeah.
I went to drink. So I guess I've been playing the other hot new game of the week-ish. Multiverse?
Mm-hmm.
Multiverses, I guess I should say. I think that went live on Wednesday? Tuesday? One of the days this week. And I think I talked about it when I was in the alpha. Now it's kind of in a weird open beta. But it's the final-ish game because you can buy the battle pass and everything.
And so it's just gonna keep running. Like if you start playing now, you're basically in.
Yeah, I mean it's a free-to-play game, but it's like what do they call it? The preseason battle pass. So it's like it's a shortened season. I think this is only 3 weeks or something like that. But okay. I mentioned it before. It's very much I don't want to say Smash Brothers clone. I don't want to like disparage it, but it is a Smash Brothers clone. It is a arena fighter with popular IP characters being the snot out of each other in very fun and creative ways. So far I've basically just been, it's not been that different than the actual alpha. I mean, the actual gameplay seems rather, what would I say? It's pretty straightforward. It's Smash Brothers. You do damage. You knock your opponent out of the stage. There's a host of Warner Brothers characters. Arya Stark, Iron Giant, Superman, Wonder Woman, Bugs Bunny, Velma, Shaggy. Each of them. I will say, I will give them this much, and I think this is one of the issues where a lot of non-Smash Brothers games have failed, is that they do a really good job of making, so far, all of the characters feel very unique and distinct. And how they play, for good and bad. There's not really like a single player component, which isn't necessarily like a bad thing. But like if you play Smash Brothers, they do like you can go through tournaments, or they have like they've had Smash, not Smash Dojo. I forget the story mode in Brawl. They've had like Subspace Emissary. They've had stuff in. The ultimate, they've had something where it's like you get a chance to kind of mess around with the characters or how they work and stuff like that. There is a like you can tutorial and there's like a pitch you can go and train, but there is something to be said about like actual real world combat and scenarios that allow you to kind of figure out how characters work, especially for the free to play game where like you get a handful of characters by default. I think it's like, I mean, right now it's Wonder Woman, it's Harley Quinn, it's Taz, it's Finn from Adventure Time, it's Shaggy, and there might be one or two more. And then you can unlock the rest of them by purchasing them or getting points in the battle pass. But the thing is like you don't really get an opportunity to like try out those characters before you purchase them. And I think that's what you would want to do so that, like, yes, you can get your favorite character. Like, yes, I'm not going to get Batman, but maybe I get Batman and he doesn't play how I want him to play. And I find somebody who's super obscure that works for me. And I feel like that's one of those things that you gotta, because, I mean, it's kind of like Apex Legends to a degree. Like, Apex Legends is a battle royale that was character-driven. And they would allow you opportunities to try the characters before you invested in them. Where this one, it might be that you can play it locally. I've not done that. I don't even have a second controller for my Xbox, which is kind of selfish now that I think about it. but stuff like that. But again, I think from a production standpoint, it does a lot of stuff that I think that's heads and shoulders above Smash Brothers. The fact that the characters know each other. Like, I played a game today with, I was Shaggy, and Velma was on the other team, and there is specific dialogue for, like, when Shaggy and Velma interact, or, like, when, you know, like, I knock Velma out, and she's like, I'll give you that one, Shaggy, and then stuff like that. And then there was one where, who was it? I was Batman. No, my friend was Batman, and Superman was on the other team. And like Batman KO'd him, he's like, okay, well played, Bruce. And I'm like, I like that. I like the fact that those little character moments exist. Right now, I think on the flip side, I've only seen like four stages, and they are all pretty basic. Like, here's a fat plane, one's like divided in the middle. Other than that, it's like the same exact thing. And I'm like, I know that's always been a complaint about Smash Brothers, but I do like the variety in Smash Brothers and some of them more unorthodox, over-the-top series stages. And I think that I get that there's a very hardcore fan base who really does not like that stuff, but there's a reason that franchise sells 10 million units.
It appeals to everybody. So
yeah, so don't listen to those people who are just like, no, we want it to be equal. And people want it to be equal. People also want it to be stupid and nonsensical. People love the items. People love Final Smashes. I think this one will go, I mean, I don't want to say it's going to go far away, but I think it has a lot of promise with its, Warner Brothers has a host of characters that they look like they're willing to put the money in to actually get, voice actors. Like, Arya Stark is voiced by her actress, Batman is voiced by Kevin Conroy, Wonder Woman is voiced by, I forget who she's voiced by. One of the actors later, but not the one who usually plays her. But like, they're willing to put money in. Like, that was one of the issues that people at the Nickelodeon Smash game is because everybody saw it, and it's like, it kind of works for Nintendo because most of their characters are silent protagonists. But when you're talking about movies and cartoons and stuff like that, these are characters who have very voices, sometimes very distinct voices, very iconic voices, and it's great that they're showing out the money for that. So. And yeah, and then part of the free-to-play model I do enjoy is that you can buy like different ring out animations. My favorite that I will get as soon as I have the money for it is you can ring out somebody, and then like the Porky Pig, that's all folks will pop up on the side of the screen. It's a minor thing, but it's like, okay, like how do you monetize Smash Brothers aside from costumes? You get different costumes, you get different ring outs, you get different animations when you enter. It's like, okay. So you can do some stuff so you can monetize it. I'm not sitting here being like, yeah, monetize it. But I'm like, it's a free-to-play game. They had to do it some way. And I like how they did it. You get different announcers. You can get different ring outs and stuff like that. So it's. I'm curious to see how the season rolls out once they actually invest in the quote-unquote final game.
What's the pricing like that on the characters and stuff?
Well, that I have not looked into, because it seems like you can get tokens to buy them, but the tokens come, I think there's like a founder pack, which is like, I think the cheapest founder pack is like maybe $40, and it goes up to $80 or something like that. So yeah, I have not looked into it, because for the most part, I am cheap. And again, part and parcel with a free-to-play game, at least for me, is like, I'm going to play it and just see if I'm going to actually invest time in it. Like, right. It took me a full season before I actually bought a Fortnite Battle Pass, and that was like 2 months of playing it. So,
I'm interested to see how that all plays out, but I do like that, you know, it has some personality to it. So, is that on everything? Can you play that on?
You can't play it on the Switch, which to me still is such a weird choice. But you can play it on everything else, I believe. It's on Xbox, it's on PlayStation. It's weird because, again, like, it's a beta, so like you have to have access to it. But I think if you watch, like I got in because, like, if you've been part of any of the test alphas, you just got in. But like, you can just watch Twitch stream for like an hour and you'll get a code. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, I get it, but I'm like, why not just like have it be open
instead of just open it to everybody?
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to give it a shot when everybody. You said you played with a friend. Does it look like you could party up with like?
You could party up with one. I assume you could probably party up with four people. Like not party up like to your friends, but yeah.
Yeah.
You can party up with a friend, and you get a 30% XP for it. And okay. The other thing I will say, especially after playing Fortnite, is that I'm happy that you get achievements for just kind of playing the game. A lot of it is, I got the achievements that all, it's very Perfect Dark Zero. It is very much win 500 matches.
Play this game forever.
KO, yes. But it's also all of them are just like, play the game. It's not like anything, it's like get KOs. It's play matches, it's win matches, it's play with friends. And then it's varieties of like get 5, get 10, get 100, get 500. So like I got like 4 or 5 of them just playing today for a bit. So
yeah, you mentioned Fortnite's Fortnite still has not added achievements for like just playing.
Yes, well,
the base game.
Yes, they have it for Fortnite, the game that you know had changed the name, but nobody ever really talks about. Yeah, but the actual Battle Royale has no achievements.
Yeah, which is so annoying. It's like because. Like if you just put stuff in for playing that, I think, like, I don't know. Evidently, it doesn't need it because people are playing the hell out of Fortnite. But it would have been nice if they actually added them in.
Yeah, it's at this point now that I feel like I would just want it because I feel like I would have done most of anything they wanted to get level 100 in a battle pass, get level 200 in a battle pass, win solos, win duos, win trios, win squads in a season, done all of that. Win 10 games, I would have racked up a lot of those things in Fortnite, but they don't have it, so.
Oh, right. I guess we'll jump from that, and talking about that, to Fall Guys. Earl, you, myself, and Walt, we played some Fall Guys last week. Yes. That was a fun little run.
We played 3 games together.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Fall Guys was a good time.
Yeah, I adore Fortnite. Fall Guys. Just as a quick aside, Godzilla's coming out next today, I think, actually. So I'm excited to kind of try to dip into that and play that. But yeah, I think it's one of those games that like, its initial hype came out because it just started it was near the start of the pandemic, and I think it died down, but. I think what you kind of forget in that is like fundamentally it's like a really fun and enjoyable and different game.
Yeah, and it's a game that you can really just jump in, you know, play a show or two, and then you're good. Like you can jump out. You don't need it's not a huge time investment, unless you're like chasing the battle pass, I guess. It's good stuff. We did not, I don't think we made it past the third round or anything. But
no. I guess, I think we've talked about it before, but I mean, I guess, because this is the first time that we played squads.
Yes.
Which is a new, I'm not going to say new. It's new to me, way to play. Cause usually like even when you used to partner up with friends, you would play, but it would be based off of like, you still have individual performances. And you still kind of get that, but this takes into account the overall team performance, which for us sometimes hurt us, and not necessarily on any fault of our own, but because like squad just has 4 players, we would always get saddled with a random 4th person. And yeah. There were times where like, the 4th person was like the MVP. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, our 4th person was terrible. Then there would be times where like, our 4th person would not get out the starting gate. And like we will be finished, and it's like we're just watching somebody we don't know struggle with this game to screw us over.
And because it's based on how you finish, so like if you finish second, you know, Walt finishes 5th and I finish 7th, like they kind of bundle all that up and give you an aggregate score. But if your 4th is 60th, like it doesn't really matter how good you guys were. Although we did advance, I think, in one where our random was really good, and one of us didn't finish, but we passed on to the next round. So
yeah, like I said, because I'm not gonna sit here and be like our randoms are always awful, but you two know that we had some where we watch.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just like you know, anytime you want to get out the front area, we're here for you. Because yeah, I mean, and the good and bad thing is about it, because I think we've had times where we finish and it's like, oh god, we're 10th place, and it's like top 7. And like another person finishes, and because they finished ahead of it, it's like we shoot up into like 6th place. So I think it's an interesting system to just kind of take like not just one position, but everybody's aggregate position, and like we're gonna give your team a total. It's very fascinating and a different way to do it. I the only thing I was sad about, like you said, I don't think we ever made it to the final round. Is like I assume that the system still kind of accounts for that. For like, is it like if one of us win, we all win?
Yes. So, I've gotten wins that way. I've also been the last one to win for my team, but yeah, you can win if somebody on your team finishes first in the final round. It is basically the final round is just complete elimination to one person standing, and then whoever is on the team of the person who won also gets credit.
Now, what was I going to say? Like, let's say if it's last man standing, let's say the four of us are the last four people standing. Does it end, or is it like then?
No,
the
person... keep going until there's. Oh. So I've seen that. I've sat around because you can't quit after you get eliminated because you won't get the credit for being in the final round. So
I think it's
you kind of sit around and watch. And I've seen where you know teams of. You know, there's two or three people left on the same team and they're just competing against each other. So their team had already won. It's neat. The maps are cool. I think there's some really fun stuff there. Wish Tony had been able to play with us that night. Cause we wouldn't have had it random, but
yeah, I remember us cursing very loudly. And often
not
having Tony or Jeff in there.
But yeah, or Jeff. Jeff would have helped too. So.
Yeah.
And Jeff's, I think Jeff has played more of it than Tony. We don't want to blame you, Tony. We did get some crappy randoms, but as Earl said, we also had some like ones that were really good at it. So
yeah, it's a great time to be a gamer because there's a little bit of everything out there really right now. Remember there was an era where multiplayer meant like if you weren't into Halo or Call of Duty, you're screwed. You know? Yeah,
it was like just shooters, and now there's so shooters, much more.
There's so many options now, and it's such a great thing. And for the most part, us old hats are in gatekeeping. I don't see anyone from that I actually communicate with and who I know are longtime gamers. Or out there gatekeeping shit, right? Like, oh, I was here before you. You shouldn't like this, you know? And that's another great, great thing. I think it's, aside from, you know, there are a lot of toxic communities out there. And they're usually just isolated to, you know, Call of Duty. But, like, for the most part, it's like, yeah, we had some randoms that weren't that good. But you know what? They're on the Switch. And we were all saying, like, it's probably a little kid, you know? And whatever, nothing wrong with that, you know.
Yeah, I mean they're just trying to have fun, and like maybe sometimes we pulled them through to the next round, sometimes they pulled us out of the next round.
Yeah, it's for kids like us who grew up around arcades. This is pretty much what arcades were. Every once in a while, you see a little kid like struggling, and you jump in co-op, and you know. Yeah, he gets excited because he won or something, you know, because he finished the
map. Let him die. Let him die.
Survival. You can do that too.
Wait, Tony, you're subscribed to the Ivan Drago mentality.
You're not actually like. I mean, you can't pull them through it, Tony. Like they have to complete the map themselves. But like if you know your team does well enough, they can kind of struggle a little bit, and it's okay.
You can tell it tells you like if it's on a console, right? And you get different icons. One of them didn't figure out how to jump. I think that's what the issue. And I was like, you know, it's on the Switch. It probably on the Joy-Con. They don't know what's going on. Whatever. It is what it is.
And there's, yeah. there's, I think we ran it. There's one with the tubes where, you like jump through the tube and it shoots you out into another. And it's like a little mini obstacle course where you jump through a next tube. And that one has one where you have to grab onto a, it's like a trapeze bar that like swings back and forth. And I like the first few times I played it, I could not figure out how to grab things. So like I was just jumping and falling. It's like, and I probably looked like I had no idea what I was doing because I didn't. But they, you know, it takes a little while sometimes for people to kind of latch on to how to actually play through it. They'll get better.
To be fair, the grabbing is also really weird.
Yes.
The grabbing is extremely weird, yeah.
I think they understood that too, because they added an option where you can auto-grab stuff, but that also becomes its own issue, because then you end up grabbing stuff you didn't necessarily mean to. So, it's a balancing act, I guess.
Yeah. It's like those auto-driving and kart racers. And we also we played lots of stuff this week together.
We did.
We helped Jeff beat Turtles, and we all played Turtles. Six of us actually got on in one game. It worked quite well. It was chaotic, but it worked.
First of all, we need to shame Jeff because he was like, "Yes, you guys helped to beat this game."
How have you not beat this game? That was the number one question of the night. How do you not beat this?
Well, it wasn't that like he was struggling with Shredder. Like he stopped at like level 14 or something like that. Like,
yeah, because he's
past
cause
this he halfway said, point here.
He's like four said, levels from the end.
He literally said, I could not get through this Technodrome. It's too hard for me. He literally said those words.
Yeah, because he said he couldn't get the. He said he kept like he'd get to like the sub boss or something like that, and that's as far as he got. And it's, I mean, granted, there was also six of us. It was like it was chaos, but it's also just kind of like this part is it's like that part that we just okay, we're through. I'm sorry, what were you talking about now? Because again, it was. I mean, there was it was not made for six people to be on screen at once.
No, it's not.
Those four enemies did not, like, there were bosses where it was just like they show up and it's like their health is eaten already.
We all just press the special and they're dead.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened to his sub boss. He was like, it's over already? Like, what happened?
Yeah, it just disappeared. The dude just vanished. He came in the screen and it was over.
I don't know how many times Jeff like ran through there that section, because I could see that some of those bosses, especially in the end, like they have weird quirks. Like, I think that's the guy that jumps on like the side and he has like a shield.
Yeah, but I think that was it. That was the guy on the elevator who jumps on and he does the thing. But I think because we beat him up so fast, he got to do it once and then the fight was over.
Yes. So I mean, maybe if Jeff didn't understand the pattern that he was doing and what you had to do to actually be able to hit him, maybe that was what it was. Like, cause I've seen people struggle with the one where it's the robot guy you're fighting and it goes back into like the first person view of him. Like that one I've seen people struggle with too.
The game does not tell you have to throw
at him. And I think, I mean, because that's a reference to Turtles in Time. That's a boss battle in that game. I think all you did is put into the version. I actually don't think the boss battle is in the arcade version. I could be mistaken.
It wasn't.
But yeah, it's like one of those, it's really funny because the Cowabunga page actually got dated today and they had a trailer today. And I did not realize like how many of those encounters were just references to the older games. Like, I didn't really like the Bebop and Rocksteady vehicle fight. Was a fight from a previous game. I think it might have been a Game Boy one, but yeah. And then
the main difference is that I think between this and the Cowabunga collection, if you look at the gameplay in the Cowabunga, that game looks so freaking slow compared to this one. Yeah,
that was my first thought too. It's like, oh man, it's going to be so hard going back. I mean, it's going to be hard going back in general because of all of the quality of life changes, but I'm like, I did not realize how slow those games were compared to Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah. And if it's anything like if they haven't done anything to the arcade formula of it, every few hours it's just going to make you die because it's trying to eat your quarters.
Well, I mean, they have that. They do have that thing, though. You have the rewind function, so like you can kind of go through, and if you get hit or use a knife, just kind of back up a bit, I guess. I don't know how much it allows you to rewind. But I mean, I don't know. Like, the problem is like finding the balance. I remember when the X-Men arcade game came out on Xbox Arcade, like they just allowed you to have unlimited quarters. But the problem with that is then the game isn't difficult because you can't die. So right. You have to find some type of balance to that to make it enjoyable. But because these games without that function are like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, because I think we blew through the last 4 or 5 levels for Jeff in like 10, 15 minutes. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't long. It was a super quick run. It's fun. It's a super fun game. I'm glad we could finally get together, play a little bit of it, and finish it off for Jeff.
Yeah, it made me miss those regular game nights we used to have with like horde mode on Gears of War and stuff like that.
Yeah,
those were fun times.
Tony, you play anything else this week?
So I played 2 things. So I finally beat Assassin's Creed Origins.
Nice.
Game makes me sad. I like happy endings. There are things about that ending that's kind of like despair. I like that. I don't know. I don't want to spoil this game that's been out for 7 years. I kind of like the end of the Ezio storyline because it was like a happy ending. And it bothered me that this ending not happy.
Which one had the did Odyssey have a happy ending?
I don't know that Odyssey. I don't remember. I don't actually remember the ending to that game.
He becomes like a demigod.
Oh right.
Yeah. I remember her like
Ishii, whatever.
Like her like turning into ash when she was seen like in the present day because she was still around.
Yeah, she was safeguarding the memory for the modern version of her that found
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The trident, whatever it was that the big mystical thing was in that game. I forget what it was.
Yeah. What? It's like the Assassin's Creed Origins all ends up being about Bayek and his wife, whose name I can't remember. Struggling with their son who is murdered by the Order.
Yeah, it's a pretty depressing storyline to start with.
it starts with that like really, and of course they show the poor kid being murdered, like and the entire thing is like a revenge story, them trying to hunt down the Order to avenge their son. But you know, during the storyline, and I mean the ending isn't a surprise when you get there. It's like them growing apart during this like path to vengeance. So it's like they get their vengeance and then it's like, oh, and you know, we'll see you later because this marriage is over and like which kind of sucks. But I mean, it really fun game, really enjoyed playing through it. I played some of the stuff that I had like gone past, like I hadn't done the chariot racing, which is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of half-assed. It's not like, what do you expect? It's sort of a mini game in the game.
Right.
But you can like go out on the track and like smash your opponent's chariots and like ram them, and whatever. But it's just going around in a circle. That's not that exciting. I went to the arena. The arena is a little more exciting. There's a couple of arenas in the game. And it's basically like fighting hordes of enemies until you unlock like the boss fight against a really tough enemy. The arenas themselves are much more interesting, though. There's like spike posts you can throw people into. There are pits that you can throw them down and fall in. Occasionally, they'll put like a cage of lions in the middle. And then during the fight, the lions will get let out and attack whoever happens to be close by. So the arena fights are kind of interesting.
It's like the What was that Roman game that came out with the Xbox One?
Rise.
Rise. Like yeah. the multiplayer for yeah. that had like those types of arenas where you could like, you know, all the traps and, you know, the animals would come down to chase you. And
yeah,
that stuff's neat.
There apparently there's a leaderboard. None of you guys have actually played the arena mode. So no. like no one in my friends list. I have like 120 people in my friends list. Not a single person had played the arena mode. So there was nobody to compete against.
I meant to ask you the other day when you were talking about it in a group chat. How does it run on the Series X?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, there's basically, it's like the one big innovation of this generation is the loading screens. Like, there's basically yeah. no loading now. Like, jumping from thing to thing to thing, it's just so easy, so seamless. It's just really nice.
That has me excited for Watch Dogs 2 because they just added that to Game yeah. Pass. And I just remember yeah. no load screens. I was like, oh, yeah. man, this might be fun.
And that actually kind of lets me segue into the other game that I've been playing because I was a little hesitant to move on to a game that is so similar. But I got into Horizon Forbidden West, finally, mm-hmm. Which I think is fantastic. But again, it's kind of like that game has so much in common with Assassin's Creed in terms of like how it's built, the story missions, like earning XP to upgrade your abilities and like the sneaking and the bow and like everything like that, except that there's, you know, giant robotic animals, which kind of like turns everything on its head, makes it much more interesting. But that game totally makes me think that the big innovation of this console generation is simply the loading. I think it's fantastic that you have this giant, giant world in this game. You never see any pop-in. Everything always mm-hmm. looks fantastic. When you're moving from fast travel point to fast travel point, it transitions so quickly. There's no waiting. So you're constantly doing something as opposed to sitting in loading screens, which, you know, you put up with in previous like iterations of this sort of game and in previous console generations, because the gameplay itself is just so much fun. But now you're like constantly playing because you don't have to wait for it to load anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this game is beyond that. It's more of Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, if you didn't like the first game, this game is incredibly similar. There's nothing in here that's going to make you go, oh wow, I can't believe they added this awesome new innovation. I mean, unless you're really super excited about like fighting a mammoth instead of a T-Rex, like maybe that's what it is for you. But it's still got like it's got the same themes. You're going to encounter a lot of the same kind of situations, but I don't know. I adored the first game. The second game is so awesome. It's just so fun to play through. I really like this. This is the thing I really enjoyed about the first, like being able to like take on a giant creature and like plan out your strategy and like maybe lay some traps, strategically fire at the creature to like disable it or disable this weapon that's been like maybe it has a cannon on the back and you use the right arrow to knock off the cannon. And that exposes this body part that's really, really vulnerable to like a fire arrow. And you hit that part with the fire arrow, and now the creature is on fire and slowly taking damage until it explodes. And like that kind of stuff is just so, so fun.
Yeah.
So I'm really gotten into it. I'm really, really enjoying it. And, you know, I think I put maybe 30 hours. Like I had this weekend where I was all alone. Which never happens anymore. So I'm like, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm just going to spend all the whole time playing Horizon Forbidden West. So that's what I did.
You're probably well past me then in that game. if you put 30 hours in. So
I'm pretty far. I'm catching up to where my son was. I'm starting to get, like, I'm finally getting trophies because he hadn't quite beaten it.
Ah.
But he'd gotten far enough to get, like, all of those trophies that you get in the beginning of the game. And now I'm finally starting to unlock stuff. So I feel like I'm making progress now.
Nice. Glad yeah. you were enjoying it.
Yeah. I knew that I would. I just hadn't got into it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that, like, you know, after coming off Assassin's Creed, that you're not like, oh, this is way too much, and I need to back off, because I think that's what where I hit. I had played like a big open world game, and it's like, just not feel like this is great. And I see it's great, but I'm just not in the mood for it now.
Yeah, and I was kind of worried about that, but then we sat down and we played some Power Wash Simulator, and then I was good to go.
Good palate cleanser.
That's right.
I have three quick ones to poke at. Talked last time we recorded, I was poking at Fallout 3. Continued to do that again. It said, like, when we talked about it last time, it's like, oh, this it's rough to open. Like, the opening is great, like getting out of the vault, but then it takes a while before it heats up. Like, it is not like the environment is great in Fallout 3, but it takes a while before anything moves in that game. But I'm finally past that. Found, you know, your dad. That game picks up real quickly from there. And it's like, yes, this is what I remember about Fallout 3. Still doesn't play great. Like, the shooting is terrible. That's is what you want to use in that. But
yeah, it's bats or nothing.
Yeah. It's like, shoot, like, otherwise, like, wow, it's like, I'm aiming the gun. My crosshair is on it. Why is it not hitting it?
Because their stats aren't high enough, obviously.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I'm like, yes, this is why this game is a class. Like, it starts moving. The exploration's good. The story picks up. It's good stuff from there. And then weirdly, I don't know why I did this. I saw that. So you remember when Call of Duty Ghosts came out? It was like right when the Xbox One was coming out. So they were doing that weird, like, buy it on 360. And if you buy this, like, special version, you'll be able to play the Xbox One version when that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two separate achievement lists for that game.
Oh, no.
And so, like, I had started playing it on 360 and then had moved over to Xbox One and finished it there. And didn't, you know, realize this at all. And then I was like, oh, what are all these games that I don't have achievements on, trying to, like, get my completion percentage up? And, oh, Call of Duty Ghosts on 360. Do I still have that? I do. It's on the hard drive. And so I started playing that. And Ghosts gets shit on a lot. And it's not bad. Like, the single player is just, it's traditional Call of Duty.
Is that the one where they invade the small town and you're fighting in a small I forget who the bad guys were in that shit.
So Ghost is the one where you play as, like, one of these two brothers. It starts off in space, like you're an astronaut, and an attack happens on this satellite space station type thing that's a weapons platform, and it's hijacked by South American terrorists, and they destroy the US and part of Europe, and then there's, like, this war between South America and the US trying to take it over. So you're on the US side trying to take down these terrorists that attacked the US. It's a, you know, it's pretty standard action movie fare, like most Call of Duty games are. I think the missions are actually pretty diverse. Like, there's like a nice helicopter mission. There's a underwater, like, where you're scuba diving and you're having to swim by sharks. And there's, like, some diversity in the types of levels that you're playing. It's not just, you know, shoot everybody. I mean, it is just shoot everybody. It's Call of Duty, but, you know, the way they presented them, I don't know. Like, I remember not hating it when it came out, but everybody kind of shit on it. I think everybody was just tired of Call of Duty at that time.
Yeah.
And the multiplayer was just more of that, right? It was just more Modern Warfare. It was like Modern Warfare 4, but not called that. And it took a little while before
I guess what was it, Advanced Warfare came out after that. That was kind of the one people were like, oh, this is way better because yeah, you had the exoskeleton, the multiplayer, and that was fun. But Ghost isn't terrible. And so I'm playing through like a level a day on that. Finally, I got back on my kart racing and I played Nickelodeon Kart Racers. Jeff talked about Nickelodeon Kart Racers 2 earlier this year. Which he said was good. Nickelodeon Kart Racers is not good. That is a bad kart racer.
They licensed out their Nickelodeon name to anybody that would pay. Anybody that would pay. Like, half of the games they released on console came out on mobile at the same time. And they're exact same games.
Yeah. One, I think Earl mentioned this earlier, like about how like the Nickelodeon, the platform brawler, like Smash Brothers, didn't have voice acting. I think they finally added that in. This does not have voice acting either. The roster is really small. I think there's only 12 total racers. So for, you know, and four of them are Ninja Turtles. And I don't know, like I know SpongeBob and Patrick. He's just like his buddy. I don't know the other ones. I don't know Hey Arnold, or I guess I know like one of the Rugrat guys, but like those were like, I was too old for Nickelodeon at that point when they hit. So I don't really know them. I don't have the association with it. The courses are terrible. Yeah. Does have this neat mechanic where if you run over slime, like they incorporated that, you know, Nickelodeon has slime. They've incorporated that, and if you run over slime, it like builds your boost meter. So that's kind of neat, but the rest of this is so bad.
I think the same company that made that kart racer cloned the Family Guy mobile one.
Oh, well. Yeah. It was not a good decision. I know Jeff said that the second one is better. There's definitely more going on in the second one. Which I have, because I bought a bundle. It was a one and two together. This first one, not good. If you see it on sale, avoid it. Get a better kart racer.
I believe it's free to play on your phone.
Then go play it there, I guess. It's not good.
Yeah, you gotta use real money to buy like different characters and things like that.
Oh yeah, you get all. I think you get all 12 characters like just off the bat here. You do have to unlock the courses, like the Grand Prix races. Like it only has like four of them unlocked, so you have to play through them, which will unlock more as you go on. You know, that's pretty standard for kart racers though. So
yeah.
But I would not pay money for it. It's not good. Finally, I watched the first episode of that Resident Evil Netflix series starring Lance Reddick as Wesker.
Okay.
And that's a thing that exists.
I was going to say, the fact that you watched the first episode was really telling to me.
I haven't gone back yet. I watched it a couple days ago, and it's not like,
I've seen pieces of it, and I cannot believe it's a real thing. I can't believe it's a
real thing. I can't believe they called it Resident Evil. I don't know what it has to outside of that, you know, the corporation doing the animal testing. And I guess like where the first episode ends off, they kind of show how the outbreak started at Umbrella.
Well, the second one, because this is, and I think this is their big selling point, is that this is in continuity with the games, or at least it takes place. So apparently, timeline-wise, it takes place concurrently with 8. So that would mean the events Resident Evil, Code Veronica, 0 through 7 have already happened. That means that Umbrella has done their thing. That means that Raccoon, and yes, this is where we are, that this is still somehow a thing that people are doing.
Okay, so here's two things about that. Is that one, the first episode is split into two timelines.
They all are.
The all eight of them are.
I've been halfway through like the second episode. I think that's where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to stick around with this for 8 episodes. But yes, I thought the first arc, the first timeline would have ended with, you know, how the first episode ended. I thought that was kind of the eh. But no, so that's a whole thing in the second episode.
So do we know when that time frame takes place?
The current one?
The past one, I guess.
Well, that's current. I think it's 2022.
Okay. And do we know where that takes place in the Resident Evil timeline?
Like I said, from what I told, it's around the same time as the events of 8 were happening.
So, okay. So then, like, the future timeline is past all that.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, I think
what I've seen, it makes me appreciate the Master Chief TV show.
From
what I've seen.
That is, okay. What I will say, and I think, because people did not like Welcome to Raccoon City, myself included, people don't seem to love this show, is I think at some point, one, we're going to have to give credit where credit's due to Mr. Paul W.S. Anderson, who realized inherently that these are stupid games, and he made stupid movies for them. And just because you're stupid doesn't mean you could be... I have Friday the 13th, I have Nightmare on Elm Street, I have Halloween. Those are all stupid franchises. Resident Evil was trying to get that tone and feel in video game form, and it succeeded. The problem is, translating it back to those forms, they're trying to make something that it's not. They're trying to make it a serious drama. And it's a tone that's it's very hard to intentionally make something that's B grade. you aim for A, you end up at B. Where they're trying to aim for A and they're just like hitting D's across the board recently with this franchise.
Yeah. It looked to me like, and I'm not trying to make this offensive at all, but it looks like Bollywood minus the heart and charm of Bollywood movies from what I saw. It was just stale.
There's no charm in this. Like I will say, I think Lance Reddick as like the villain here, he has this scene in like a principal's office. He is just straight ruthless. And he pulls it off perfectly. Like that guy gives his all in everything he does.
Yeah.
But nothing else in this show works really.
No, like I thought the sister dynamic again in the first episode is such a weird thing. Again, like you've seen dynamics before where it's like, okay, one sibling's kind of meek and the other one's more kind of like domineering and you need to stand up for yourself. But I feel like they take it to such demented extremes. Even in the first episode with what she, like the more aggressive sister does, like I don't understand what the benefit of that would have been, even if she didn't, like wasn't the chief suspect.
Right.
It's so tropey, but it's not like tropes aren't necessarily a bad thing. They could be done badgy, and in fact, this show does them badgy.
Yeah, it just seems confused, and I'll be honest with you, it feels like it's like there's a license about to expire, and you need to create something really fucking fast to keep it. And they found someone who's willing to do it at a budget at a discount. That's what it kind of feels like to me. It feels like it was a situation where there's a certain amount of time for you to create something with it with a license, and they just had to do it. That's what it looked like to me.
I could see that, except like the Capcom keeps throwing shit at the wall with this series, like on their entertainment side. Like I think their games are excellent for Resident Evil, but like they released that movie last year that was kind of like throwing shit at a wall, like let's make it more like the games, which works for some people. I know it did not work for Earl and myself, and then this just seems so weird. Like I understand like the rushed feel that you're getting from it, but it also just feels like they don't know. They're just letting them do whatever, and people aren't kind of getting it. I think it might be what Earl's saying is that they're trying to do B movie stuff, but they're trying instead of just naturally coming to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're also like Netflix is taking meetings? Really? Oh, let's go pitch this shit. Wow, they're actually paying us to do this shit. Oh, fuck, right. Now we can actually make this shit. I think it was one of the situations.
And I would rather watch the original Resident Evil movie or 3 or 5 over most anything else that they've released in this series.
Oh, dude, I think me and Jeff were in the same boat. Like, we were done after the first original movie. That was enough for me. Like, okay, that's cool. Whatever.
It was funny because I think we were talking to you and Jeff, and it's like, not gonna fool me a second or third. I'm like, yeah, they fooled me 9 times now because I've watched all 6 original movies. I've watched Welcome to the City. I watched the first Netflix animated show that they did last year.
Oh, that was bad too. I watched that too. Oh my god, I forgot about that one.
Exactly, that was so like that was scary. Like an animated movie that they just divvied up into like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
But it did not do anything in those 4 episodes. And then this show.
See, those producers are smart because what happened during. So, within the industry, Netflix put out a call that they want to flesh out their animation side of things, right? They wanted to get some of that because Hulu and Crunchyroll via Hulu was locking down all kinds of licenses, right? So they're like, fuck it, we're going to create our own stuff. So, remember when everyone was criticizing Netflix for dumping, like was it $1.5 billion into production for movies and shows and all that shit? They, if you basically had a production studio with any kind of experience and got yourself a meeting with Netflix, they cut you a check. And I think that's how some of these shows got made, especially that Capcom one. Because like, hey, look, it's established. People know the brand. It's an easy sell. And they got cut a check. But you can tell it's like rushed and corners were cut and it's just kind of like mass produced, you know?
Yep. Well, that's on Netflix. It was the number 2, I guess, premiere of the week last week on Netflix. So I don't know what was number 1, but it.
But that's manipulated, by the way. Don't.
I'm sure, Netflix, but I think it didn't hit number 1. So,
I think I read somewhere that it, you know that autoplay trailer when you first start the app.
Yeah, that probably counts as a view.
Yeah, if you leave it through the end and it loops back, they count it as a view.
Yeah, their view numbers are weird.
Yeah, only them on the inside actually know their real numbers. Like they don't, we're not going to know ever, you know?
So I guess go watch that if you're curious. I may.
Or don't.
Yeah, that's probably the better choice. I will probably continue to poke at it.
Over the we are broken people, Chris, but we can accept it. I am going to be home by 1 or 2 on Monday. I'm not back to work until Wednesday. I will probably put it on again. There's not much going on right now. Like we're kind of in between everything show wise. My baby's not out for another week. I don't even know if I'm getting it next Friday, but fingers crossed. So I got time to kill.
Oh, we're about to be bombarded with TV shows again, though. There's like a quiet. We're gonna get some new Game of Thrones. The Wheel of Time's gonna come back. It's gonna be bananas in a little bit.
That's like a month or so. Though somebody pointed out August 5th is actually really big for streaming, because you get the Ninja Turtles movie Prey comes out that day. Deus Ex comes. There's something like 6 streaming movies coming out on various services and TV shows. So
yeah. The end of the year is not slowing down too. We're getting Mandel at the end of the year, and you know that's going to break some streaming records as soon as that, because that show is ridiculously big. I cannot believe how big that show got.
I was going to say it's really weird because I was thinking about this the other day, and this had something to do with video games. Just a quick aside, is like, because usually traditionally TV shows wrap up in May and they start back in September. So a lot of times you use summer to kind of catch up on shows you missed or heard about. And because that traditional segment doesn't exist anymore, it's so weird. Because I mean, there's shows I've heard about, like, I want to watch, but it's like, wait, oh no, this show's about to start up. Oh, this, like, Harley Quinn comes back next week. Like, that's going to take a shot on my ding. I watch OU Murders. That takes a. And it's like, okay. And then, like, you know, She-Hulk starts in August and Game of Thrones and the Lord of the Rings is, what, September? So there's a lot of. It's like, okay, and then like the shows that I do watch come back. So it's like this weird thing where it's like you don't have that period of time anymore where it's like, oh, okay, there's not much going on. You can catch up on stuff you missed. It's like here's like 20 more things you're gonna miss if you don't watch them right now.
And then you just kind of miss stuff at this point.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like at some point you just accept FOMO.
I think at this time tomorrow or Saturday, we're gonna have the Wakanda Forever trailer officially out. They're gonna officially announce all the shows they have coming out. They're supposed to announce the casting for Fantastic Four. I mean, it's just it's not stopping anytime soon. It's like remember how Jeff said, like, this might be the best year of TV. It's only getting better because The Bear came out and it's just catching fire. The Old Man is fantastic. Jeff Bridges coming back to doing TV for the first time. And being this good on it, it's just shouldn't surprise anyone, but it's just fantastic. There's just so many options, and they're just going to stack them up. Like, Disney has them stacked up, just waiting to release one after another. And the rumors keep pointing that they got Ewan McGregor to be a producer for the Obi-Wan show, right? It looks like they might get him back for a season two.
And they'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not opposed.
It's insane. They're it's stacked up.
Like, yeah,
entertainment options are just amazingly good right now.
Disney's done really well with staggering their Marvel and Star Wars stuff, so that they almost always have something coming out. I think they might be a little bit of a lull right now, right? Like.
Not well, just for a little bit, because remember the brand new season of Bluey is coming out, and I know some of you might not know what Bluey is, but it's one of the biggest freaking shows in the world for kids, and it's a really, really good show, and that's getting ready to drop on Disney as well, and it's highly anticipated. It's I don't know how they compare it. I guess it's kind of like what Teletubbies were back in the day. For parents, because they can just put them on and the kid's completely locked in. But it's much better than that. It's not as mindless. It's actually like really well-crafted stories and messaging.
Earl just said, She-Hulk is in August. And Andor, I think, is September or late September after She-Hulk's over. So, yeah, they have lots of stuff going on.
And that's just like the nerdy stuff. Because there's a lot of like it's funny. This is all video game related, but I was I was taking stock. Like right now, even though there's been I think 5 comic book movies this year already, like none of them are my top 5 movies of the year yet. And it's such a weird like I don't the biggest like blockbuster in my list I think is Top Gun, which is a really great movie. I've not seen it yet.
I'm dying for that to hit streaming. It should be in another month or so, right?
Well, it depends. Mr. Cruz keeps on making money. He's gonna keep on pushing it back.
Yeah,
that's true. The man's in charge of his movies. Hats off to him. You know, he's definitely earned it. He's a movie star. To me, he's the last real movie star on the planet.
The only other person I would argue for is Mr. Dwayne The Johnson, just because like he's been able to, like I mean even during the pandemic, Jungle Cruise did super well. He's been able to open original IPs like San Andreas, and what was the other one he did? Did another one where like they do
400 Skyscraper 500.
They do yeah,
Rampage.
Rampage. Yeah,
where they do really well at the box office, and it's mostly driven by him. Yeah. Like, even, I would say the same thing with the Jumanji remakes, like, not remake, sequels, where, like, I mean, yeah. Like, it did not surpass it, but, like, I don't, you know, people who don't, like, Jumanji was kicking Star Wars ass that year. Like, Star Wars came out stronger, but Jumanji, like, week to week was doing better than that. You know, Star Wars just started higher. And it's like, that's a very impressive thing to do. You know, Hobbs and Shaw did decently as well. So, like, I think he's another person that people go to see movies for. But outside of those, like, a lot of it is driven by IPs, which kind of does suck. Because then you don't get, like, Tom Cruise can, like, Top Gun, I don't think it's based off of anything. It's not based off of a book or anything like that. It's just an original IP. And the fact that a movie that is nearly as old as I am can get a sequel and become, I believe, the highest grossing movie of the year so far.
Oh yeah, it's not even, I don't even think it's close. Like, it just became the ninth highest grossing domestically.
Yeah. But I think worldwide. Well,
I think he finally delivered on that tired and true, like, you have to experience it in movie theaters. This is one of those movies that, like, yeah, it makes sense to watch in a movie theater because it's insane what they put their actors in to capture, you know?
It's it's $210 million more than its closest, which is Doctor Strange.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, and the only other thing I could possibly... There's only two movies I can see possibly coming close to it for the rest of the year. I would want to say Wakanda Forever just because the first Black Panther was such a huge hit. But there's so many question marks around that movie that, I mean, really, the biggest one is Usain Reed. And I hate to sound morbid, but you don't even have the curiosity factor of, like, he died while filming it or he filmed some of it. Like, the movie entered production long after his death, so there's no, like, Heath Ledger had that was part of the specter of The Dark Knight, was Heath Ledger died after filming that movie. And then Avatar 2, Way to Water, whatever it's called, just because the first one is the highest grossing movie of all time, like, even if you took half of it, it would still be the highest grossing movie of this year.
Yeah.
I will say this, like, real quick. Earl, regarding Wakanda Forever, I've seen what could potentially be some of the marketing material, and I don't see a world where these current MCU fans are going to be happy with the decisions they made in that movie. I'll leave it at that. I think it's going to be a shit show. It's going to be ridiculous. Like, I think there's going to be a campaign to recast T'Challa after the announcements that come out.
Yeah, I think the other thing, and this is, you know, this is, you dealt the hands, you play the hands you dealt, is the thing with the replacement, at least the popular replacement theory right now, turned out to kind of be a shithill during the COVID. So
yeah,
that is also not helping.
That's going to be like the, that's, I think that part is going to have a backlash. And I think the only person who is firmly in that individual side is the director, and he holds a lot of power. I just don't know, man. This, it's strange, man. It's very strange. I feel a gigantic backlash coming for the first time Marvel's going to have to deal with.
And in addition to all that, there's games coming out. I think you just said that Xenoblade coming for you next week. Is that when it releases?
Yes, next Friday. This week is I still don't know how to pronounce it. Live.
Just thinking about it today. It's live alive. I don't know.
I think Live Alive is probably the best one because the whole concept of the game is that you're one of, what, 8 characters and you're living their life, and it's disconnected, but it does eventually all tie together, I'm told. But yes, it's one of those things where it's like, it's something, but that's out tomorrow. I think is it next week? Destiny 2 is promoting, like, they're going to reveal their next big, like, content update or something like that. What else do we have going on? We had news. Ubisoft had news today.
They canceled some stuff.
They canceled some stuff. Yes. They moved back the Avatar game. And then
they canceled Prince of Persia a while back, right? That's still not.
Did they cancel that?
They delayed it. It was supposed to come out earlier this year, and now it's just gone dark. They canceled the Ghost Recon Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And the Splinter Cell VR game.
It's also, and maybe I'm mistaken, did we know that they were out? I mean, they were in production, I should say.
I think the Ghost Recon one we did, because there was a, like, you could play it. There was a beta out.
Okay. Because sometimes I know with Ubisoft is sometimes, like, we know a lot about what they're doing because they're, like, the biggest organization in gaming. And then, like, you know, like, people know, like, I think Assassin's Creed, I think last I heard, is supposed to be set in India or something like that.
Well, I hadn't heard that. That's cool.
I hadn't heard that.
Okay.
That'd be fun. Yeah, that's cool.
I hadn't heard that either.
They just keep avoiding the like one location that everybody wants them to go to. Like, everybody's like, please, like, and I mean, it makes no sense now that Ghost of Tsushima has done it, but everybody's like, go to feudal Japan, go to feudal Japan. They just keep avoiding it at all costs.
Right.
I can't wait for Assassin's Creed Mall of the Americas. That's going to be a crazy one.
It's like the Fear of Zava for them. If we can't go to feudal Japan. Did I miss it? Did you end up playing Stray?
Tony got it, right?
Did you play
Tony? My kids have played so much of Stray. So much of Stray.
I heard it's super short.
Which is fine. It's like 4 or 5 hours.
It's like 5 or 6 hours.
That's short for nowadays, for a $70 game.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's 30. It's a $30 game.
It's $30.
My bad. Never mind.
Yeah.
If you have the right membership from PlayStation.
That's what I'm going to say.
That is so confusing, dude.
That was
I looked into it after Chris was telling in a group, like, hey, I'm completely confused. I was like, it can't be that bad. I looked at it, I was like, yeah, I'm confused.
The app was fucked when I looked.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tom.
I looked on the PlayStation website and I looked at the actual memberships and, like, the actual membership levels and what you get at each level. I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. And then I see all these people on Twitter who are, like, going into the game's library and, like, trying to figure out if this game is involved in this membership level, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's super clear if you go to the Sony website and look at the actual memberships. It is not clear at all if you look anywhere else.
Yeah, that's the problem. I was looking in the console, and it's confusing as hell. I did see, like, majority of the retro stuff has to at least the games I'm interested in that were retro had to be streamed, and I was like, that's not good.
And all streamable games are on that top level.
Yes.
And then the other thing, because it was that, and then I think the other thing where people were having issues if you had gotten Final Fantasy VII remake from PlayStation Plus, that it wasn't updating with Integrate or something like that on the... It was very... They did fix that. But I really do feel like they should have named it something better with these tiers. Xbox Live and Game Pass, two different services, very distinct names. Because PlayStation Plus, there's no PlayStation Plus. There's PlayStation Plus... What, not basic, what is it? Extra? Essential.
No, it's PlayStation Plus is the basic level, which is the hilarious thing. Then there's PlayStation X Plus Extra, and then there's PlayStation Plus Premium.
Then which
Those
one
are
is
the three level?
And which
I
one
thought there was an essential one.
Yes, which one is essential?
I'm confused now too. Let's look this up.
I don't think essentials is one of the levels.
It isn't.
That's the core. That's
that's why they're calling the PlayStation.
Yeah, so so there is no PlayStation Press anymore.
Right. Yeah. PlayStation is essential. And that makes sense. It is essential that you have it if you play any multiplayer games because you need it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the issue. You had a PlayStation Plus. Leave that as the base. Okay. You need a PlayStation Plus.
There's no reason to change that at all. There was absolutely no reason.
Exactly.
This reminds me. It's premium. It's essentials extra premium is the top tier.
Yes.
And see, like for me, I think I would reverse him because I think premium will come after essential and then extra is like if you want more. In my head. And that is probably
That also makes sense. Like here's what you get with all of it. Like I don't know, extra is weird. Extra is weird.
Yeah. Like I feel like it should have been PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Plus Essentials, and then PlayStation Plus Premium. Because then it's like, okay, PlayStation Plus online games, whatever, PlayStation, you know, games with that. Then you have Essentials, which is like, okay, here's like, you know, because I think you get like a library of like PlayStation 4 and 5 titles with that as well. And then Premium is like, you get all of this.
You get the game catalog with extra.
Yeah. This reminds me very much of HBO when they were rolling out Max, and you had HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO Max. And it's like, I don't know what any of this means. The difference is like HBO Max eventually was able to certify itself as you go folded into Max, now it's folded into Max. So you have one service. This is one service that now became three that a lot of people are just kind of trying to wrap their heads around. Give it a few months and nobody's going to complain. But right now, I think they did it's weird that Sony just really kind of shat the bed on messaging because there were several people. I even have friends who messaged me like, oh, you can get straight if you have PlayStation Plus. And I think some of it does say you can get it on Essential, or they were giving out like a week long trial of Essential or something or
extra.
But yeah, there were people who thought they were getting straight who weren't getting straight because they didn't have the right, level, and then you can up convert it for a certain amount, a prorated rate or something. I don't know, but it's very because like it wasn't just like normies. It was like I think the one that was going around was like Patrick Kepik or somebody like who's in. I don't even know if he's still in game journalism, but somebody who has a higher profile who's getting confused by all this as well.
I saw Tony. He responded to Fran, or he.
Sort of making fun of him. I feel like Fran should do a little better. Like he shouldn't be confused, but
I could see where if he were trying to use the app where he was confused, because like I tried to use the app to do it and like it just kept me in a loop. The app was just broken when Stray launched. It's fixed now, so it's like it's very clear. Like it tells me exactly what, like, if you want Stray, pay $11.99 to upgrade to extra, or $17.99 to upgrade to premium, or what is that premium? Yeah, premium.
Wait, is that extra or whatever?
Extra is the middle tier,
the middle one. Yes.
You don't want to say mid.
Because like I upgraded because I knew my kids wanted Stray and I knew Stray was going to be on there, so I upgraded like a couple days before. And I was just like, it was really easy. I knew which one to pick. Like I don't understand what your guys' issue.
What is this Ubisoft Plus Classics thing? You get that with extra too.
That is an extra, yeah. So like. And the selection there is pretty good. Like Assassin's Creed Valhalla is in there.
Neat.
Yeah, but my issue, like on the console, it will tell you if it's downloadable or if you have to stream it. That's the biggest thing for me. Because their streaming service is not that good. It's not as good as the Microsoft one currently is.
Well, you can only stream if you have premium.
Yeah.
So I mean, don't pay the most money and you'll be fine. That's all you need
to. Yeah. But I mean if you buy that thinking, oh, I have access to all this stuff, there's a lot of it's streamable. You're forced to stream and it's not the best experience. That's about the nice thing I could say about it.
It's because they still don't have a native solution for PlayStation 3 emulation.
Exactly.
Right? Like PlayStation Classics, which are the PlayStation 1 and PSP games, they download. PlayStation 2 games download because they've all been upgraded to the PlayStation 4 versions. And PlayStation 4 downloads, but the like their huge library of PlayStation 3 games is all streaming. Yeah. It's a mess.
Yeah. It's a very strange one. It's confusing. I mean, even if you get the service, I think expectations aren't going to match up. Well, I guess coming from Game Pass, if I didn't have that experience, I probably wouldn't care. Right? But from Game Pass, expectations don't match their reality.
It's kind of nuts is that, like, Sony's been, because this is the streaming stuff is the PlayStation Now remnants, right? Like,
yeah,
it's all that stuff. And that came out way before Game Pass and Xbox's cloud streaming stuff. Xbox's cloud streaming stuff was a little rough when it debuted, but it's way better now, like super stable.
It's fantastic now.
Like you can just like you can hook up controllers to your phone and just work it right from there. Like it's very, very easy and very stable. It's weird that since Sony has had this streaming thing for years now that they're a little bit behind on that.
It is weird. It's because again, it seems like they were trying to compete, which they should, but they did not do anything to improve the service. Or like it was. I mean, like in hindsight, I appreciate it, but you know, it's probably a lot of work for a little bit of reward for very select few people. But like the fact that Microsoft literally went through and would make sure that a game from Xbox and 360 were backwards compatible with the Xbox One, and then future-proof it with the Series X and stuff like that. Like, they went through, and it would be, like, per game. It wasn't like they were doing a sweeping thing, which is kind of technically how Nintendo did it with, like, the Virtual Console. It's, like, an emulator that would play these games. And I don't think Sony is really looking to make that investment because it is a lot of manpower that you're wasting on something that probably 10% of your audience cares about. But if you make that 10% happy, they will be champions for you.
Yeah. So you have not played Stray though, Tony. Just
watch not myself. A little no. bit. I've just watched it. The cat looks super realistic, like very, very cat-like. Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just puzzle solving and platforming and like running away from stuff
and being a cat. Sorry, the meow button.
Yes, being a cat, right?
Neat. I'm glad that people are liking that. I'm glad your kids are enjoying it too. So,
yeah,
I may upgrade and pay the $12 to play it. We'll see. And then, I think we got news that Saints Row went gold. That's not till the end of the month, but that's also ready to go. And I read some previews. It seems like they've made a good Saints Row game. So,
ooh, I mean, Tony, to be fair, they've been making a lot of good Saints Row games.
Yeah, yeah. Tony will not be ready for that though, because he'll play two giant open world games.
No, there's no way I can move on to a third one in a row. That's not going to happen. But Madden will be out, so
shortly too. The achievements are out there already. So,
mm-hmm.
I like that Madden's on the cover.
Yeah, he deserves it. Congratulations, Madden.
Been years.
So I was going to say, this is not a concern until, I think they got 2 years for this. Because they've done a Madden 25, didn't they?
They did.
So yes. What's going to happen?
I don't think it matters. If he can do Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 like six times, he can do
Madden 25 twice.
Well, nobody remembers the other Madden 25. It's been like a decade. It doesn't matter.
Has it been that long?
It's not like people are going to like, I don't know which one I'm going to buy because they're both on the shelf.
It came out, Madden 25 came out, I think, the same year as the PS4 and Xbox One launched.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had Adrian Peterson on the cover of that version, at least.
Which, oof, what did I do?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Michael Vick's on the cover of what? 05, 06? No, McNabb's on 05. 06, I think Vick was on the cover of 06. So, like, you can't predict what's going to happen.
And, yeah, you know, but at this point, you can kind of... Vick's more rehabilitated at this point.
Sure. Than... I mean, he served his, you know, he served a sentence, came back, and then did his work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to take time for Peterson to rehabilitate his image.
If he does, because he still, from last I heard, as of last year, he's still saying he did nothing wrong and that kids need to be treated that way.
Speaking of sports games, and before we're going to wrap it up now, but I thought FIFA was, I thought EA and FIFA broke up.
I thought they did too.
Because there will be a FIFA 23.
It's not being EA. Called FIFA, isn't it?
No, it is FIFA 23. That's the game that is coming out.
Oh, so it's the last year they can actually use FIFA.
Okay, so it's their last contract year.
Wait, is it?
Yeah, FIFA is no longer.
I thought they announced EA FC for this year.
That's what I thought too, but they just announced FIFA 23 and showed the cover image for it and announced that it's going to have World Cup, the World Cup tournaments in the game. So it would have to be FIFA branded.
I guess it's their last one.
Which I may actually, I have not bought a FIFA game probably since 8 years, 2014, when they had the World Cup game for Brazil.
So check this out. Okay. Mm-hmm. I looked this up. FIFA brand is no longer essential for awareness. It doesn't include any of the licenses, and it could be argued that EA Sports has outgrown it. So they can still have World Cup, all the other brands, because they literally signed those licenses directly with the clubs.
Well, World Cup is a FIFA tournament, so they couldn't call it the World Cup.
Well, that's what I'm reading right now. That majority of the licenses and stuff, they can create their own EA Cup. That just
they can do that. Yes,
That's what they announced. That I just assume when they announced EA FC, which because we talked about that,
yeah, we did.
FC, I forget what it stands for. It's the European term for football.
Football club.
Yeah, they announced that, and we were like, okay, that was that. Like they announced it. I assume that was for this year. That's weird. That it's like, oh, we're breaking up with FIFA, but like before we go, we just got like one more piece of business to do, and then we're going. We're definitely going to sign people. Pack our bags. We're not looking back. And it's like, but you know, just in case. But
yeah,
FIFA 23 will be the final game released in this partnership and comes out September 30th. It will feature women's club teams for the first time. That's neat. So,
yeah, apparently FIFA wanted over $300 billion per year for FIFA and just for the World Cup. Because all the other licenses are separate. That's money EA pays for all the other licenses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, I've heard before that FIFA is kind of a scam. Not necessarily in relation to EA. But I mean, it's the same thing people say about the Olympic organization. So,
all right. Well, we will be back next week for episode 600. Maybe Shrek-filled. We're not sure. we'll see. But yeah, go play some games with friends or
do
stuff.
Launch your car.
Live alive.
Live alive. Live alive. maybe or you know, put a mask on and stay inside. I don't know. Go go have a good weekend. Earl, take us out.
So for 599 episodes now, we have wished you farewell, we have wished you good night, and today, for the very first time, we will just end.